When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. We hope you'll have a very happy 4th of July. Today we're featuring Dr. Vernon Humphrey, President of the National Association of Blind Veterans. And we are also featuring a few songs, including two songs about America in honor of the 4th of July. Thank you very much for listening.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part one of our interview with Dr. Vernon Humphrey.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. We're honored today to have Dr. Vernon Humphrey. He's a blinded veteran. Dr. Humphrey, would you introduce yourself, please?
I would be honored to. My name is Vernon Humphrey. I'm a doctor in philosophy. I teach communication at college. I'm legally blind. I have a disease called retinitis pigmentosa. I was medically retired from the Army after 19 years, 7 months, and 5 days. I'm a retired master sergeant. I am happily married. My wife told me that, so I have to make sure I say it. I have 3 children and 7 grandchildren.
Wow. Dr. Humphrey, I was just interested in getting a little bit of background before we did this. I was reading about blinded veterans. I understood they started in 1945, right after World War II. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, I can. That's actually a different organization. The Blinded Veterans of America, BVA, started right after World War II. And we are the National Association of Blind Veterans, a division of the National Federation of the Blind, which has been around for 80 years. As a member of, I'm actually a lifetime member of both, but I am the president of the National Association of Blind Veterans, which is, like I said, part of the National Federation of the Blind. It's an advocacy group consisting of thousands, if not more, blind people of all military and parents and older people, and we're actually having our annual conference next week, and it's going to be done virtually. The BVA, the Blinded Veterans Association, has, I don't remember how many, over 80,000 members, if not more than that.
Wow.
It's a national organization that I'm just a member of. I don't hold any office in that group.
Uh-huh. Well, what are some of the challenges specifically to blinded veterans? Maybe as they get out of the service and then they move into the private sector.
Veterans have grown accustomed to working as a team and mission first, mission oriented, service before self. And then when they're blind, they become blind, they're put into a different category. It's difficult for them many times to find a place to fit in, to find a job. I fell in love with education, and I got my bachelor's, my master's, my PhD. And I have a place in the community teaching, which I love, but I still was looking for that camaraderie I had in the military. And a lot of civilian organizations, as much as their statement says or their goal says or whatever, they don't necessarily fall into that type of camaraderie. I did find it, though, when I joined the Rotary. And so I'm a Rotarian as well. And the Rotary gives me that camaraderie that I missed in the military. In academics, you have to write papers and research and get published, and it's a lot of stuff focused on, you have to focus on you. You know, I've got to do this to get promoted. And it's the same in many civilian jobs. You have to focus on you to get promoted, and you don't necessarily spend that much time focusing on the team or the mission. Most people that have spent a great amount of time in the military are mission-focused. We're a team. Let's get this done. And when you get out and you try to find a place to fit in, it's difficult to find that because the civilian sector focuses more on personal achievements so you can get promoted as opposed to collective achievements for the good of all.
Right, okay. So what are some of the main objectives that
you're striving for?
We strive to teach veterans. It's much like when I teach communication. If I were teaching math, I'd be teaching formulas. If I was teaching history, I'd be teaching dates. But teaching communication, I have to teach people to believe in themselves, to be able to publicly speak, because it's, oh, I can't do this. And our military members that get out, we try to teach them, okay, you're used to working as a team. You've got to keep that mindset, but you also have to learn to be self-sufficient. And in the military, we're taught to survive and take care of ourselves. And keying in on that aspect allows us to remind the soldiers that this is your obstacle, okay? Your obstacle is you need to learn Braille. Your obstacle is you need to learn cane travel. Your obstacle is to become independent again and not depend on everybody else. Because right. our goal is you know, for us, by us. The National Federation of the Blind goal is for us by us. You know, if we want to be treated equally, and I don't want somebody to see my blindness as before I was a soldier and a father, you know, a husband, and now I'm a blind veteran, a blind right. husband, a blind father, and unfortunately the public doesn't quite get that. And I have 20/20 acuity. But my vision is like looking through a straw. So from my computer, I can see all the word and, A-N-D. But if it's a bigger word, I got to put it together. And it confuses a lot of people when I'm walking around the store with my cane and I pick up a can and read it. I was actually working for, when I was an intern in college, I was working for a hockey team in fan relations. And I checked on my children that were watching the game, and some lady a couple rows up said, "He's not really blind, he can see." And my daughter-in-law, I think, was going to start a fight in the stands because the lady said that about me. I don't understand total blindness, but I understand my blindness. And so I'm kind of an ambassador, and I love it when I'm walking through Walmart and I go to check out, some kids in front of me are looking at my cane, because I'll ask their parents, "Can I talk to them?" And then I'll explain the cane to them. I don't ask the parents, and that's rude to begin with, but that way the children will understand what the cane's for. When I was working for that hockey team, I was walking in the big stadium, and this little girl says, "Daddy, Daddy, is that man metal detecting?" And he just hush up, and hauled her off instead of explaining it to her. And so, you know, our goal is for us to be independent, our veterans to be independent, but also to be ambassadors for the blind community and the veteran community. You know, don't just sit in a hole somewhere. Get out, experience life. Let people know that blindness isn't a death sentence. It isn't something that cripples you and puts you in a nursing home for the rest of your life. There's a million things you can do being blind. The only thing I can't do is drive. And mm-hmm. although I offer to all the time, my wife will never let me.
So what are some of the things that you do to help people achieve that independence? Say I was a veteran myself and I had just gotten out of the Army or whatever, and I couldn't see, and I felt lost. How would you help me?
Well, the first thing that I would do was get you connected with the Veterans Administration. Uh-huh. And if you haven't been already, and then the VA has some wonderful blind rehab centers. I went to the one in Birmingham, and I would convince you, I wasn't going to go to the one in Birmingham. I wasn't going to go. My wife basically told me, "You aren't going to go." It was one of the best things in the world I ever did, because I was managing. You know, I could scan a little bit, and I had my cane, and I'm okay, I don't need to go. And no, you need to go. And so, with my wife's pushing, I went. And then, during the process, they teach you how to actually use a cane right. They teach you a lot of the skills about believing in yourself. If you need Braille, you learn Braille. Low vision, for example, low vision at the Veterans Administration, it's more about blowing stuff up, like people with macular degeneration. They have screen readers that make stuff big for them to be able to see. And I thought, well, what good is that going to do me? Because the bigger you make it, the harder it is for me to see it. Like putting me in front of a billboard to read it. And they gave me actually a it's called a monocular, like a little telescope you hold in your hand. And uh-huh. it blows things up when you look through it the regular way. But he said, don't look through it the regular way, turn it around. And so I turned it around and it shrunk everything. I don't know if anybody's ever looked through binoculars backwards. Does it make everything smaller? Well, after I got my binocular, I went to the hotel to meet my family, and the another wonderful thing about the VA program is they bring your family in near the end, and they teach them how to lead the blind and that type of stuff. But I was sitting at the bar waiting for my wife and kids to come downstairs so we could go to lunch. I was not drinking in the middle of the day. Don't say that. But I was sitting in the bar, and I looked at the binocular backwards, and my family came down the stairs, and it was the first time that I had ever seen my whole family without scanning. I could see my wife and my two sons and my daughter, and it brought tears to my eyes because it was something I never thought that I would experience. And
wow.
So, you know, their low vision part that I thought would not help me the least actually gave me the greatest gift. Like I said, they taught my children how to lead the blind. And they put blindfolds, they made glasses that replicated my vision. And so my children could wear those glasses to see how I see the world. And by doing that, my children understood better what my vision was. I understood better because when they got home, they dropped their book bag and dropped their shoes, and I tripped over stuff all the time. Because a blind person needs some type of order in their house, so because they can't see everything laying around. And my children really didn't understand it until they saw the world through my eyes, so to speak, which was a wonderful thing that the VA did. And the VA, I went back a couple of years later to the VA, and they gave me computer training. And a computer that has software on it that will speak to me. My wife hates that software, drives her crazy. So the first thing I would do is make sure they were in contact with their local VA. And the VA has something called a VIST, Visual Impairment Services Team Coordinator, at each medical facility. And the VIST coordinator helps you get the adaptive equipment that you need and learn how to use it. And they get you to the training. And then they have more training and more training. There's another class that I'm going to go back for when I lose a little bit more of my vision. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's a camera basically on glasses that when you look at something, it has face recognition software built into it. And it can recognize the person you're talking to, or you could put in there a bag of Oreos. So when you go to the store, if you have no vision, and you hold that bag of Oreos, the computer inside the glasses and the camera will tell you Oreos. So it gives us more mobility.
What I was wondering, too, say if a person was blinded in battle, and they came out and they just felt, you know, like they had no hope. Do you ever have to struggle with things like depression and substance abuse, things like that?
Oh, definitely. It's always something that we worry about with our veterans and other veterans. The suicide rate of veterans is among the highest in the United States. And having the PTSD, the depression, actually, when they medically retired me from the Army, they medically retired me because I was depressed because I was blind. Not because I was blind.
Right.
But I have a genetic disorder. I didn't get mine in battle. But the soldiers, sailors, airmen, service members that become blind due to conflict have an additional burden that fortunately I never had to carry. But with those people, we talk to them about a strong network, support network. We're always there for one another. You call us and talk to us. I may not have the combat experience to talk to you, but I know enough guys to do. And many of them are blind, or maybe they're not blind, but they lost their legs. They still have their own demons to fight. But it's something that we can share amongst each other in the sister and brotherhood of being a veteran. And the hardest thing is to get veterans to talk about it. My father went through that. He was a veteran of Vietnam War. And
yes.
Yeah, a lot of his cohorts and himself didn't want to talk about it. And it's like, no, you need to talk about it to get it out in the open, because once you talk about it and share it, then you can start facing it.
All about you. That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you. The show is going to be played by yours truly, and it's called America the Beautiful.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.